The path to trace ancestry erased by the Holocaust is well-trod. As Menachem Kaiser writes in his new memoir, it's a book genre, and he's a little jealous of all the other grandchild authors who seem to so easily find the stories of their grandparents. Him? Not so much. In 2010, Menachem began his quest to reclaim a building in Poland a grandfather he never knew grew up in, but there were tenants, court battles, maybe the wrong building, and suddenly we're plunged into Menachem's 8-year journey, a Gulliver's Travels with a little Yiddish. He has to prove his relatives died in the Holocaust. He's swept up by treasure hunters who explore a secret underground world of the Nazis and who follow and revere a relative of Menachem's. Along the way, he wonders, who is plundering, the treasure hunters or him, plundering memory? Menachem Kaiser's new book is Plunder, a memoir of family property and Nazi treasure. And Menachem, you write that this started when you were in Poland. Your father faxed you a pile of documents about your grandfather's building. What happened?
Something really shifted. I really felt, really for the first time in my life, a sentimental connection with my grandfather, because I saw that he had failed for 30 years trying to get back this building. And I was in this, you know, unique position to, you know, resume his quest. I felt like I could sort of be in conversation with him. Mm-hmm. And so somewhat on a whim, but sort of like this amorphous sentimental motivation, I set down that path.
Well, and it almost immediately goes south because you decide to pretend that you're doing a documentary about this building, but the building is also pretending it's not your grandfather's childhood home. It was an investment property. And we're now in an absurdist play. The court's demanding that you prove your grandfather, who would be like 140 or something, that he's dead. Are you starting to feel like a little ensnared by this story?
Yes. This was a building that my grandfather owned. And so I just assumed that he had grown up there. And so that gave it a whole sort of sentimental basis for what I was doing. But it turned out not to be the case. And then it turned out I spent like 2 years dealing with the residents of a particular building. And then it turned out that building actually was the wrong building. So the main legal hurdle was trying to prove the deaths of my relatives who had died in the Holocaust. And my great-grandparents would be, you know, nearly 140 years old. You would think that'd be kind of a slam dunk, but it was not.
Well, you also had this mindset, as who wouldn't, you know, that you're going to be playing this role. At some point, you're saying, okay, I'm going to play the part of the Jew returning to claim my property, and you're going to play the part of the angry Pole. And yet some of them were very, very nice. You know, it didn't work out, you know, as you thought it would. But here's where we have to warn listeners to, you know, hold on to their hats, because we're going to veer sharply, as you did. You end up in the Silesia region of Poland. It could be the most densely treasure-hunted, treasure-packed region in the world, myths that go back to the 1500s. And then, of course, more recent ones, conspiracy theories, really about Nazis using underground tunnels for time travel and to hide the loot of a golden train. It's all centered around a Nazi complex. Riza, tell us about that.
So Project Riza is a series of 7 underground complexes dug by the Nazis using mostly Jewish slave labor towards the end of the war. And so these are really sort of staggeringly enormous structures, square kilometers of area. So they're really quite like underground cavernous neighborhoods. But what makes them truly enigmatic is the fact that there is virtually no primary documentation as to what the Germans were planning to use them for. They've sort of become a pretty mythologized place and attracted quite a bit of like these conspiracy theorists and treasure hunters.
Quite amazing. But in one of the world's greatest coincidences, their Bible of treasure hunting is an obscure and poignant Holocaust memoir written by your grandfather's first cousin.
Yeah. This diary that was written by a slave laborer named Abraham Kaiser, he wrote on like stolen scraps of cement packaging, and he would nail these scraps to the underside of the latrines. And after the war, he collected them, and they were published in Poland in the early 60s. This has become sort of the sacred text among the treasure hunter community, owing to the details of the tunnels inside the book. You know, I never heard of him. I grew up with the sort of knowledge that everyone in my grandfather's family had been wiped out. So his parents, his siblings, all his aunts, uncles, and cousins. So really, like in an instant, my family went from extinct to not extinct.
Well, you went from somebody coming to take back a building to a hero to the hunters, you know, wining and dining you and lots of vodka. And it, look, it's Abraham Kaiser's grandson. You'd say, no, they didn't hear that. So you start playing the part of Abraham Kaiser's grandson and start getting increasingly uncomfortable because Abraham talks about the starvation, the beatings, the woman who hides him in a potato bin. But they, the hunters, are focusing on the tunnels.
The way I would describe it is that they approach the book as sort of the textual equivalent of a treasure map. And, you know, the more I learned about Abraham, I'm missing the person. That was ended up being a big struggle for me. How can I get closer to him, his own personal legacy, and not how he's been mythologized by the treasure hunters? But as I got to know them better, I really saw a sort of sense of collective responsibility to these sites. And these are sites that are way off the maps. They're very far from like the main sites of Holocaust memory, like the Auschwitz. And it's this community that's taking care of them. One of the treasure hunters is a guy named Krzysztof, and he had dedicated a few years to tracking down a concentration camp that had been wiped off the map. And he brought me out to a field, empty field, and he showed me in the grass a line of cemented in bricks. And that had been the foundation of the barracks.
And you decide to follow Abraham Kaiser's route from concentration camp to concentration camp, these relatively unknown camps that he writes about. It is dizzying. You write at one point to us, the reader, my experience is starting to bleed together. I'm guessing something similar is happening to you. And I said out loud, Menachem, oh, that happened a long time ago. It's like, this story is so incredible. So you find this incredible, lovely story of Abraham, but not much about your grandfather. And you wrote at one point, I had hoped to fade out my book on a successful reclamation of my ancestral property, a triumphant finishing of my grandfather's unfinished business. How would you describe what happened?
I really liked how you said it before. I think I came in with a sense of that this is a familiar story, a grandchild going back to his grandparents' ancestral homeland on a sort of memory mission. But as I got deeper in, it just became less and less familiar. And I sort of had less and less like touchstones to understand my own story. It really challenges your sort of preconceived sense of how a story like this is supposed to go. And it just was not going how I thought it would go or how everyone feels it should or how it's gone in the past. It was like up to me to make my own meaning. And I try to be honest that I don't always know the answers, both in the book and in life. I sort of just threw my hands up and said, I don't know what this is. Like, I don't know what it means, and but I'm trying.
What would you say to others who have thought about this? And we should say that there are Jews who lost everything overnight. What would you say about someone who says, I want that back?
I don't pretend to be an authority on the issue of reclamation. When it comes to sort of taking something back that belonged to your family, the meanings of these things that we take back are going to have very, very personal and unique meanings. But for me, what happened was because the process to reclaim it became such a frustrating process, it forced me to interrogate what the building actually meant and sort of revealed in a way that I did not anticipate. The building was just a building. It was me who was creating the meaning of that symbol, and I was forced to interrogate my own motivations. For me, that's where the real value was. What does it mean to reach towards my grandfather? And so how do I sort of create the meaning of his memory? You know, I found that to be a frustrating ending, but like an enormously valuable one, because it really forced me to wrestle with who he was and who I was relative to him.
Well, and I was thinking, you also got Abraham. And you wouldn't have had a clue about this relative of yours. Is there any attempt to maybe republish this memoir of his?
Yeah. So there's been a tremendous amount of interest in an English edition of Abraham's memoir. And I hope to have it out in early 2022.
There you go. Menachem Kaiser, his new book is Plunder, a memoir of family property and the Nazi treasure. Oh, by the way, we can't spoil the ending. It has something to do with golden eggs. Were they there?
I can't say yet, but I'm hoping to be able to say soon.
Oh, excellent. Menachem, thank you.
Thank you.